10?
Okay.
Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutas Sanatana Manashasthani Indriyani Prakrutisthani Karshati. Mamaiva Amsaha, a part of Mamaiva, of mine alone, my part, not anybody, anything else, that my part indeed, Jiva Loke, in the world of human beings, in this world, Jiva Loke, in the world of the living beings, Jiva Bhutaha, it has become Jiva in the form of Jiva. So in this world, a part of mine is in the form of the Jiva, exists. In this world, a part of mine exists as Jiva. Meaning, what is called Jiva? Jiva means the living being. The individual being is called Jiva. The word Jiva is derived from the root Jiv, Pranadharane, to sustain life. So that which sustains life, a living being. So these living beings, the jivas, are a part of mine. Sanatanaha amshaha, an eternal part. Therefore, by using the adjective sanatanaha, Lord Krishna, by calling eternal, the partness has been negated. Meaning the word part is not used in primary sense, but in the secondary sense, as though part, because a part cannot be eternal. A part means limited in time and limited in space, so what is limited is perishable. What is limited in time is perishable, because limited in time means it had birth, and therefore it will have death also. So no amsha or a part can be sanatana. No part can be eternal. So by definition, part is something that is split from a whole, or from an assembly, I should say, an assembly. Like this cloth is an assembly, made of a number of these threads or yarn, so you split them apart. A yarn is an assembly of a number of fibers. You can split the yarn apart. Fiber in an assembly, number of molecules, you can split again that apart. Molecule in assembly, number of atoms, split them apart. Atoms in assembly, subatomic particles, split them apart. Go to what? Boson, the God particle, whatever that particle is. You can go, you can split. Really speaking, the splitting process will not leave anything tangible at all. The splitting will ultimately result into nothing. Nothing means nothing visible, nothing perceptible. It will reduce itself to its most fundamental component, or most fundamental nature, which is what we call existence. Even the scientists are splitting and arriving at what they call boson, which they think is the most fundamental particle of which the whole universe is made. So if they can understand this boson, they can see, they can explain how the universe is created. The universe is not created of boson. It is created from what? Existence. Consciousness. What is the most fundamental particle? Consciousness, the most fundamental particle. If we accept Vedanta, what Vedanta says? What does Vedanta say? What is Brahman? Abhinna, Nimitta, Upadana, Karanam. Brahman, or consciousness, is both the maker as well as the material. For consciousness to be material, now material normally should undergo a change in order to become create something. Like this pot is nothing but an assembly of number of particles of clay or number of particles of earth. So all those particles combined become a pot. But consciousness, can it combine? It's not a particle. How do you mold, how do you make pot out of consciousness? But that's what Vedanta teaches us. Vedanta teaches us that the most fundamental substance, what they call vastu, is what? Consciousness. How do you take consciousness and mold into parts? How do you do that? Nothing other than projection. Meaning that the idea of matter is a projection, and then it undergoes all sorts of changes. But basically, consciousness, which is changeless, upon that, this changing universe is projected. Meaning that upon limitless, the idea of limitation, upon the partless, the idea of part is projected. The projection is a product of ignorance. That's how Vedanta explains our sense of limitation, that it is projected. It is an imagination. It is not reality. Like the snake is projected upon the rope, and so also the smallness or limitedness is projected upon the self. But why, Swamiji? How did that happen? So Vedanta explains further that there is something that is limited, no doubt. There is something that is limited, but that limited is not where we think it is. Meaning that this body, mind, sense complex is there, it is limited. It is small, it is limited in time, limited in place, limited in attributes, limited in everywhere. As Swami would explain that, is limited time-wise limited, space-wise limited, knowledge-wise limited, energy-wise, every-wise limited. Limited everywhere. So indeed, there is something limited, something small, insignificant, no doubt. What is it? The body, mind, sense complex. But what happens is, the limitation belonging to the body, mind, sense complex, however, is thought to belong to the self. So limitation existing in one place is superimposed upon the other place. It's called superimposition or projection. So limitation is there. Where is it? In the body, mind, sense complex. But then it is imagined to belong to consciousness where it is not. Like our example of crystal, you know. The crystal is colorless, isn't it? Then, you have placed a colored object beside the crystal. How does it appear now? Orange. What a beautiful flower, an orange flower. So crystal appears, so orangeness is there someplace, but not where we think it is. So looking at the crystal, somebody may conclude that the crystal is orange in color. But people don't think, and then some other color comes. Some green color comes, some red color comes, some purple color comes. It comes or not, I do not know, but it is supposed to come. We had a nice crystal that is gone, so this is serving its place. But how the crystal appears colored? The color appears in crystal doesn't belong to crystal. It belongs to an object such as a flower. So orangeness existing in flower is superimposed upon crystal, and we come to the conclusion that crystal is orange. Similarly, this body is limited, and because of vicinity, the consciousness, the limitation of the body-mind complex appears to be in the consciousness, like the orangeness appearing in the... So that is the power that the orange, this object has. It is a power to create an appearance of orangeness in crystal. इसको उपाधि. What is उपाधि? उपाधि is that which lends its attributes to something nearby. And so the flower which is orange lends its orangeness to crystal that is nearby. And therefore manages to create an appearance of orangeness in crystal. And therefore, to an uninitiated person who doesn't know what a crystal looks like, would think that the crystal is orange. And then later, he sees a yellow object and thinks that it is yellow. And then a black. So sometimes crystal is yellow, sometimes it is black, sometimes it is red, and all kinds of colors. But a person never thinks, how can one thing have many colors? How is it possible that one thing can have many colors? How can the same thing appear yellow now, orange later, red some other time, blue some other time? But we never think. So also the self, now a karta, a doer. Little later, a bhokta, the experiencer. We'll see in the passage in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Prananeva pranana bhavati vadanvak pashyan chakshuhu shunan shrotram manvano manaha. The breathing takes place at the level of breath, but then this thing, I am breathing. The speaking takes place in the organ of speech, but then I think that I am a speaker. The seeing takes place in the organ of sight, I think I am a seer. The hearing takes place in the organ of hearing, I think I am a hearer. So these different complexes, this my notion about myself keeps on changing. But I never think, who am I? I just take for, when I am seeing, I am a seer. But then 5 minutes ago I was a hearer. I don't think, how can a hearer change to a seer, and seer change to a doer, and doer change to an experiencer. Keeps on changing. Like the crystal keeps changing in color. That means that all those colors are due to something other than crystal. And similarly also, the doership, the enjoyership, the happiness, unhappiness, all that we are feeling is not in the sense, in the self of the consciousness, it's somewhere else, it's the mind. It's the mind, body, sense complex, which undergoes changes constantly. It's the nature of mind to change, nature of body to change. Balyadishu, at one point the body was a child, became an adolescent, became young, became middle-aged, became old. Jagradadishu, the mind also keeps changing, now waking, then dreaming, then sleeping, now happy, then unhappy, etc. So this body-mind-sense complex is constantly changes. And looks like I am changing. But change that happens in one place is thought to obtain another place. This is called superimposition. That is how Vedanta explains the sense of, but the pramanam is here. Mamayavamsho jivaloke jivabhutaha sanatanaha. That my part alone acts in this world, exists in the world as a jiva, as a karta, bhokta, sukhi, dukhi, doer, enjoyer, happy, unhappy, father, mother, etc., etc. This is called samsara. So then now Vedanta explains our life. This explanation of life, what is this life? Our life is what? Now a doer, then enjoyer, then happy, then unhappy, whatever. All these different roles, really speaking. Actually speaking, crystal is assuming different roles. But imagine if the crystal had a mind of its own. The problem belongs where? To crystal itself. Suppose crystal is a mind of its own. And then crystal says, I'm orange, I'm red, I'm white, I'm yellow. If crystal feels though, that's a big problem, you know. So crystal itself superimposes the colors belonging upon itself and suffers, and the other crystal is red, this crystal is yellow, it compares itself, I think red is so beautiful, yellow is no good. Or red is nothing, yellow is something. Either way, comparison goes on, complexes are created. In what? In the crystal. This is called jiva. Mama evamsho jiva loke jiva bhutaha sanatanaha. My own part, as though a part, exists or lives as a jiva. As a, meaning I live as a limited being. What Lord Krishna is saying is that I live as a limited being in this world of living beings. So world of living beings, all these living beings are there, all the jivas, who are they? Lord, I am there, Lord Krishna says, I, the limitless, the consciousness, Brahman, the Self, alone, acts as all these jivas. Therefore, to explain that, the story was told, how all these bodies were first created, the home, house are first created, and then he enters into them. And as though becomes one, as though becomes many. That's called creation. That's what Vedanta says. Tadhyedam tarhi avyakritam asit, etc. So that is the passage of the Vedanta Upanishad that we are going to study this week, you know, in which this kind of discussions also will come. But then that is just all right. But so Lord Krishna says, I have become the jiva. And I exist in this world as a jivatma. And I suffer from ignorance. I suffer from a sense of smallness. Don't say jiva suffers. Lord Krishna, I suffer. Because who is, there is nobody else. There is nobody other than Lord, meaning there is no other than Brahman. That's all. That, who is samsari? Brahman alone is samsari. Who is crying? Brahman is crying. Who is laughing? Brahman is laughing. Who is sad? Brahman is sad. Who is happy? Brahman is happy. Jiva bhutaha. Brahman is as though become the jiva. Not become. But then, what is becoming? Becoming is superimposition. The crystal becoming yellow is not becoming. It is what? Crystal becoming orange is not becoming. It is superimposing orangeness. And so also Lord has superimposed upon himself all these things. Why? Doesn't make sense, you know. Why should he do that? Why should the limitless superimpose on limitedness? I don't know. Vedanta is no explanation why. Why did he create this thing? I don't know. This is a way of saying it, that's all. Because the fact is that we are limitless. And we are feeling limited. Now these are two things about ourselves. It is a fact that we are limitless. Because Upanishad says so. Upanishad says, Tattvamasi, you are limitless. And it makes sense also. Limitedness cannot be my nature. You know why? If limitedness was my nature, I would be happy being limited, understand? Everything is always happy with its own nature. As I said, fire is happy being hot. Fire has no problem in being hot. Sun has no problem being bright, and darkness being no problem being black also. No problem. Meaning that, if limitedness was my nature then, I would have been comfortable being limited, if it was my nature. But I'm not comfortable. That shows that limitedness cannot be my nature. So that is how, when Upanishad says, you are limitless, it makes sense. Because I love limitlessness. I hate limitedness. I hate smallness. I hate dependence. I hate helplessness. I love freedom. I love limitlessness. So it makes sense. It must be my nature. But somehow the limitless is feeling limited. Somehow. That's called Maya. You call it Maya, which is inexplicable. Or somehow. That is why ignorance or avidya is a model that Vedanta provides. is trying to give you an equation, like a scientist must produce an equation for whatever the fellow observes, and he understands. His understanding must be represented as an equation. So Vedanta gives an equation. What is it? Avidya, kama, karma. So avaranam, vikshepa, etc. Meaning that the ignorance has twofold power. One is that it keeps you ignorant of what you really are, and secondly, it creates a notion of what is not. Meaning that, first of all, I do not know that limitless I am, and contrarywise, I take myself to be limited. Not knowing myself, limitless is of avaranam, veiling. And taking myself as limited is called viksheva, projection. Or prakriya. So, the Vedantic prakriya. Meaning Vedantic model of explaining our experiences. So we want to know why. What is happening? So this is what is happening. The limitless. It's called Shiva. Shiva became Jiva, you know. That's a nice little, you know, alliteration. The Shiva became Jiva. That's what one of the poets in Gujarat says. Shiva thaki Jiva thayo. The Shiva became Jiva. So Shiva wanted to experience all these different rasas in the world. And therefore he created the universe from five elements and then became a Jiva. A poor fellow forgot that I am Shiva. If you remember you are Shiva, then this is fine. Whole life would have been so wonderful. An actor who is billionaire, for it is nice for him to play the role of a beggar. He is in no way reduced by playing the role of a beggar. He becomes increased by a few million dollars, in fact, as a result of that. But the problem is, he forgets his true identity and takes himself to be beggar. Doesn't become the beggar, takes himself to be beggar. He's as good as becoming beggar. So this is what it is. That what we are in truth was explained in the previous verse, that limitlessness, consciousness is our nature. Ever free, ever limitless, ever happiness, ever full, ever whole, that's what we truly are. And what we take ourselves to be is quite contrary. It is due to ignorance of our nature. That is why knowledge is the solution. So why does Vedanta emphasize knowledge? Because the problem is one of ignorance. And therefore, the solution is knowledge. Now, the next verses describe, as I said, the story of this Jiva. Once you take yourself to be Jiva, then the samsara comes. So now you take body to be yourself, so birth of body is your body, birth. And death of the body becomes your death. And there is this gross body. You see, there are two kinds of bodies here. One is, what is evident outward, it's called the gross body. Within the gross body there is another body called subtle body. The gross body is what is evident to the sight, to the perception. And subtle body being subtle cannot be perceived. It consists of the mind, organs of perception, organs of action, the prana. In Tattva Bodha we were told how the subtle body consists of 17 elements. Pancha Jnanendriyani, 5 organs of perception. Pancha Karmendriyani, 5 organs of actions. Manja pranaha, the 5 pranas. Manaschekam, buddhischeka, mind and buddhi, intellect, become 17. Whichever way you want to count, this is one way of counting. Different people count differently. But important thing is that what keeps this gross body alive? What imparts it the life of the sentience is the subtle body. So subtle body first becomes sentient by consciousness. So consciousness first enlivens the subtle body, and subtle body in turn enlivens the gross body. So understand, this is what it is. What is death? Death is the separation of the subtle body from the gross body. What is birth? A subtle body entering a gross body. So there is no death really in the true sense. Death is this gross body is a container. It is abode of dwelling of the subtle body. And subtle body's nature it is to reflect consciousness. Just as water will automatically reflect the sun, if there is sun shining in the sky, then a bucket of water is there. It is nature of water to reflect any shining objects. Similarly also, it is nature of subtle body to reflect consciousness. So how that water in the bucket becomes lighted because of the reflection of sun, so also this subtle body becomes enlivened because of the reflection of consciousness. And that enlivened, meaning that that sentiency is passed on to the gross body. That is why the gross body is alive. How long? As long as the prarabdha is there. As long as the prarabdha karma or destiny is there, so long the subtle body will remain in the gross body. Once prarabdha is exhausted, meaning that the karma is exhausted, then the subtle body gives up its association with this gross body and establishes association with another gross body. That's called next birth. That is called transmigration. Transmigration is migrating from one body to the other. So death takes place here, birth takes place there. This is what the chain of birth and death. Same thing will happen next body. If he does not become enlightened, then the same process will go on. Happy, unhappy, doer, enjoyer, hearer, struggling all the time, becoming limitless. For punya, papa, dharma, dharma, karma that perform, karma phalas are all accumulated and they give rise to yet another body. He again performs karma, good karma, bad karma, again earns punya and papa, and then next body. That's how they say, that's called samsara, the cycle of repeated birth and death. That's what Lord Krishna describes now. How this jiva samsarate iti? How does this jiva? So who is jiva? The consciousness identified with the subtle body is called jiva. Who is jiva? Consciousness identified with subtle body. And subtle body, of course, is identified with the gross body. So the consciousness identified with the subtle body, and through that the gross body is called jiva. Consciousness is called jiva, understand? So what departs from here is not consciousness, subtle body. To explain this, different kinds of examples are given. I like to give the example of a fan to explain this gross and subtle bodies. Then in fan, there is an outer casing which has blades. There is a motor inside that casing, and there is electricity which first energizes the motor, and motor in turn then imparts the motion to the blades. So these blades are comparable to the gross body, the motor is the subtle body, electricity is the consciousness. So just electricity first energizes the motor, so also consciousness first enlivens the subtle body, and that in turn enlivens the gross body. Suppose you remove the motor from this fan, then the fan becomes dead. Even though electricity is there, the fan or the casing also is there, remove the motor, then the fan becomes dead. And take that motor, put it in another case, in the fan, that becomes alive. Similarly, subtle body going away from here, this body becomes dead, goes to another one, that becomes alive. This is the process. Little an emotional way of looking at things. I mean, you know, I appreciate that. But scientists are always unemotional, you know, in the sense that they observe the phenomena, explain them all their mathematical models. Mathematics are all models. They're all models. This is all a model to explain our experiences. Because we very much need to understand our experiences, then alone we know where the problem is. We understand nature of problem, then nature of solution becomes clear. So what causes all this? How ignorance causes all of this? How ignorance causes the identification of the body, mind, sense complex? First of all, ignorance creates this, by the way. ignorance creates the body-mind sense complex. Secondly, creates identification with that. Thirdly, as a result, creates a sense of smallness or limitedness. That is called a jiva. And to become limitless, he performs karma. Sometimes he performs good karma if everything is going well. Sometimes he violates the values also if things don't go his way. So, punya and papa. Dharma and dharma. And that's karma, karma phala. That karma phala, result of action, gives next body and so on. That's how it continues. So, in second line of this verse, Lord Krishna said, manasasthanindriyani prakritisthani karshati. Now, Lord Krishna says, what happens when the jiva departs from this body? Describe the process of transmigration. So, what we call departing from this body? At that time, manasasthani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. Karshati means what? It pulls, you know, or draws, I should say. So now see, here we have this personality. We have the five organs of perception. Each organ is in its own center. The organ of sight is in the center called the eyes. The organ of hear is functions the center called the ears. The organ of speech functions from the location called the vocal box, you know. The organ of taste is located in the palate or tongue. Organ of smell located in the nose. So, five organs of perception and similarly, five organs of action. So, hands, legs, speech, and then organs of generation and excretion. These are the five organs of action. So, each one of them is a location. As long as a person is alive, each one of them functions from their own respective centers and things are going on well. So, what is subtle body? Subtle body consists of the five organs of perception, which are in their locus, locations. Five organs of action, which are in their locations. Five pranas, which are also performing, they also have location. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. Prana is said to have location in the throat, sometimes in the ear rather, in the space between the eyes and ears and, you know, that upper region. Sometimes they say prana has its place in the heart, that also they say. But here, apana has the location in the pelvic region. Dhyana pervades the entire body. Udana is in the throat. Samana is in the stomach. So five pranas also have the location. Remaining there, they perform the respective functions. So when this person is alive, all these various faculties perform their functions, remaining in their different locations. What happens when death comes? And of course, you have brain, where the mind functions. So Lord Krishna says, when death happens, manasasthani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. At that time, this jivatma, the limited self, wants to depart from here and wants to go to the next body. But he departs with all his baggage, you know, doesn't leave anything here. Takes everything away with him. The whole subtle body is taken with him. Like when we are traveling in trains in India, lots of baggage. Indian Railway says travel light, but Indians don't travel light. They travel heavy always. So many baggages are there. And we always, I remember, you know, some mother says, come on, count number of pieces. How many pieces are there? 9 pieces are there. Okay, so to remember all the time. And those days, the train, then there's a train junction. So from one location, if the train goes to junction, you change the train, go to another one. That may go to yet another junction. Now, when you're changing train at junction, you think you leave some of the baggage in the old train? No. You collect, you count everything. Every little bucket is so many things used to be there, you know. Primaster would be there, a bucket would be there, some tumbler would be there, and then some one or two boxes of some food would be there, and all the bags would be there, and hold all will be there, and trunks will be there. Whole family is traveling. See underneath, see above, everywhere you see, and then pull out. So this underneath, pull out. Where was the trunk? Underneath, above. So wherever they are, you pull out all of them from their locations. So as long as the train was running, all these things were in their own locations. And now when you are changing the train, you pull them out from the location, collect them all and go into the next train and then put them back in those locations, you know. Don't leave anything behind. But not only that, but while you are traveling in the train stops at different stations. And that time you buy some few things also. A few things you may have bought also. That also you take along with you. Some food you may have eaten also. And some you may have bought also. So what is eaten. But then what is bought also goes along with you. Similarly, while we are living here in this body, we exhaust a lot of karma. But at the same time, perform new karmas also. So what is exhausted is gone. But new karmas we perform constantly, we accumulate the effect of that. We don't leave anything here. Everything goes along with us. Karma, all actions go. Pura prajna, meaning all the wisdom that we have gained, all the vasanas also go with us, all ragadveshas go with us. Whatever we have, meaning that all likes and dislikes and all spiritual progress we made, that also goes with you. Or whatever, if you suppose spiritually went down because of abusing the free will, and that is how you went down in the ladder of evolution, that also goes with you. Actual memories do not go with you. So here is a scriptural evidence of what we call the previous birth and the new birth. Lord Krishna is describing here. We don't have any proof. So is there a proof that there was a previous birth? No. Or there will be new birth? No. What is proof? Proof is something that you can demonstrate. But previous birth is not here, how can I demonstrate? And next birth is not yet come, I can't demonstrate to you. I cannot demonstrate in present what existed in the past or what will exist in future. No, but Swamiji, if I had my previous birth, how come I don't remember? Should I not remember everything? Thank God that you don't remember. Because how many births you've taken, you know that? If you remember everything in those things, we'll get crazy. We are crazy enough with the memories of this birth, really. So many things in this birth we are trying to forget and we can't forget, and that makes us, you know, crazy. Can you imagine, remember what were you last birth and remember everything? Suppose I was a donkey, suppose. I don't know who I was. I may have been a snake, I may have been a devata, I don't know who I was, or a human being, could be anything. All those memories, if they come with us, it would be impossible to live. Therefore, it is a great blessing that no memories come with us. However, whatever growth we made, whatever we earned by way of karma, that karma phala, those impressions all come back. So when you perform actions, every action leaves an impression in the mind. And every action also produces a result of the action that also remains in a subtle form. Also, some of these actions, karma phala, you exhaust in this life, and others you again accumulate, take them all with you in the next train. And before you travel, you know which train you are going to travel by. It's not that you go to the station, then they say, which train shall we go to? No. It's already planned. Meaning, while you are in this train, you know which other train you are going to go to. So with that knowledge, you depart from here. When you depart from this train, you depart with the knowledge of what is the next destination. Is it not so? Similarly also, when the jiva departs from here, already he knows what the next destination is. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that when the jiva departs from here, there is as though a light in which he sees, so the jiva is in the heart, and there's a door from which it departs, and then there's a light where he sees what the next verse is going to be. With that knowledge, departs from here. Nobody departs in hanging around. When you are supposed relocating, you are leaving, going from, I don't know, from New Jersey to Texas, let us say. Then you have sold this house. You bought a new house. You don't sell this house and then reserve any house to go someplace. At least you go to a hotel, some temporary thing. But you know where you are going. Where will your luggage go otherwise? So when the packers come and then all these things are, the address is written there, where the destination is. Meaning that just as when we depart from one location, we are quite aware of what the destination is going to be. Similarly also, when the jivatma departs from here, there is an awareness of what the next destination is going to be. So Lord Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chayatyante kalevaram tam tamai vaitikanteya sada tad bhava bhavitah. Lord Krishna says, whatever be the last thought at the time of death, that is what determines what your next destination is. Same thought, what Hrudayanikopanishad says, then you see what your next destination is, or what the thought is, or whatever. But in short, your destination is decided while you are here. It is not that you depart from this body, now the jiva is traveling, he doesn't know where to go and things. So such stories are being told. Puranas, I don't know, they may be so. But my understanding is this. This is what Upanishad says. Bhrudhaka Upanishad describes in detail this yatra of the death and shows us how the jiva knows where he is going. And as soon as the jiva cannot, jiva means subtle body, cannot be without another gross body. So as soon as it departs from here, it departs with a gross body, with five elements. Another Upanishad says, now anyway, this is all the details for you, but still, now we are on the topic of this death and departure, so I am just telling you. Chandogya Upanishad says that when the jiva departs from here, then the subtle body is enveloped by five elements. All the karma that is performed in this lifetime, all the ahutis that is given this lifetime, all of them result into, they create a masala. They create a mixture of five elements which envelops this jiva, and then he goes to next. Suppose from here, Prithvi Loka, he goes to Chandra Loka. Chandra Loka means world of moon. So, in every realm, there are bodies constituted of different constituents. On this earth, there is a constituent, our body has predominance of earth. So, earthly living, Here, predominant earth. When you go to Chandra Loka, meaning world of moon, there is predominance of water. When you go to heaven, predominance of fire element. So all the five elements are there, depending on the karma. This jiva departs from here, let's say, goes to Chandra Loka. Then, that watery body is made, from those five elements, the watery body is made, he lives there according to his karma, and then, suppose from there, he has to go to heaven. Those five elements form another body. Goes to hell, wherever he goes. The potential of all the bodies that he is going to assume is already taken with him. Anyway, so idea is that there is a continuity of life. That's the most important thing. Life does not come to an end with death, nor does the life begin with birth. Life is a continuous process, and life only changes the form. Just as matter is never created, nor is the matter destroyed, so also life is never created, nor is the life destroyed. So how old are we? If you measure ourselves by this gross body, then we will be old 50 years. But otherwise, how old are you? You are ancient. Mauna vyakhya prakrita para brahma tattvam yuvanam varshishthante vasa. All his disciples are all old people. Guru is young, disciples are old. Chitram vartaro mule vriddha shishya guru yuva. Buddha Shishya, Sanat Kumara, but they're old because from the time they're as soon as identified with the body. So that this is going on for the time beginningless. How long will it go on? It will go on until this ignorance goes. And so in a typical verse, Lord Krishna says, Manasvid. Therefore, it is very important to understand that there is continuity of life. That is why we are born with the samskaras of the past births. Although it may look like the child is very innocent, Swamiji, it has not performed any karma, and so it's all innocent. It is not innocent. It looks innocent so far. Because its mind has not yet developed for the manifestation of all the samskaras it is carrying or vasanas. Once it grows up, as the mind grows, it starts showing its idiosyncrasy, every child. It doesn't take too long for a child to assert itself, it's terrible too, etc., you know. So that is when the mind has developed sufficiently to have a sense of individuality. And then slowly, it's all traits or lakshanas or characteristics slowly start manifesting. Oh no, Swamiji, we are spoiling this earth. We are not. Child has brought everything with it. We add something into it, no doubt about that, of course. We do add something. And that also is, but the psychology seeks to explain everything from this life only. But they don't accept previous life. Therefore, poor parents are always the culprits, because what a child is because of parents. Mother did not do this, and mother did that, and father did this, and you know, therefore creating tremendous complex in the parents, that we are wrong, we have done something wrong, Swamiji, what did we do in our parenting, what is what? But what can the parents do? As I always say, parents are like gardeners. What can a gardener do? It can take a seed and provide all the necessary requirements for that seed to grow into a sprout, into a plant, and then, but what fruits the seed will have is determined by the seed, not by the gardener. Similarly also, what characteristics are shown by the person is brought with him or her. Plus, of course, something we may have added, no doubt about that. We need to pick up from the environment also, from the place where you are growing up. This goes on until the prarabdha last. The prarabdha is end. So, that is why, otherwise there will be no fairness at all. This continuity of life explains the diversity. As to why I am what I am and you are what you are. Because I have my own unique history, you have your own unique history. Therefore, you are what you are and there is nobody to blame. It's not that God has made us like this and made somebody rich and somebody poor. Then God would be in trouble because he is partial to somebody, cruel to somebody else. But no, God is a facilitator and he gives us according to our own karma. Does not interfere with the law of karma because he himself has created that law. Meaning that we are what we are because of our own karma. And of course, I mean, karma is a very complex thing. This is a simple statement. Don't ask me question, but Swami, why did that thing happen? What is the karma? I can't explain to you that. But there cannot be an effect without a cause. And therefore, karma is the cause. Whose karma? Swami, when 6 people died together in an accident, whose karma is it? I don't know. Together, karma combined, is a complex situation. Maybe scientists someday will discover some mathematical equation, something like that for karma, to explain how this karma interacts with that karma and, you know, what is the resultant karma, etc. Manashasthani, Indriyani, Prakritisthani, Karshati. When does he do that? The next verse tells us. Shariram yadavapnoti yaccha pyutkramati swaraha gruhi tvaitani sanyati Vayur Gandhani Vashayar. Shariram Yat Avapnodi. Yat means Yada. When he attains the next body, yachabi utkramadi when he departs from this body. So the second line of the previous verse is to be connected with the first line of the next verse. That is why you find in our handout here, the second line of the previous verse is printed separately. And translation of that line and these two lines are given to there. So, shariram yat avapnoti, when he takes up a new body. But no, when can he take up a new body? Yat chavi utkramati ishvaraha utkramati, when he departs from this body. Ishvaraha, Ishvara means the jiva here. Ishvara has become jiva actually, Ishvara only really. But Ishvara, who takes himself to be jiva, this one, also in the eighth verse, the second line, the second part of the first line is taken first. Yat chavi utkramati Ishvara. So, read like this. Manasasthani, indriyani, prakritisthani, karsadi, yat chavi utkramati Ishvara. Yada, when this jiva departs from this body, at that time he pulls, draws all the faculties with him. Doesn't leave anything here. All organs of perception are drawn from their locations. Organs of action is also drawn from their locations. The mind, intellect also drawn from their locations. He collects all of them. When? Yachabi utkramati. When he departs from this body. When does that happen? When the prarabdha karma is over, at that time he departs from this body. Then he takes all the baggage with him. All the karmas, karma phala, all of these are residing in the mind. So subtle body is a receptacle, it's like a computer, with all the memory in there. So like the computer, similarly, subtle body is all the memory in there. And which memory will come up, depending upon which button you push. So computer also, which memory you have to bring out, depends upon what you touch. Or what you push, what the case may be. Similarly also, as we are living our life, different thoughts occur in our mind and different moods occur in our mind. All of these are nothing but already stored in there, and they all manifest one by one depending upon what the triggering factor is. So, the experiences we have day to day, things that happen, things we hear, things we see, things we think, all become the triggering factors to arouse the memory which is already stored in the computer called the subtle body. That is why a thought arises in the mind. What creates that thought? Some karma is responsible for this thought to arise. Some karma responsible for this event to happen. Some karma responsible for this situation to take place. Some karma responsible for our association with one another. All of this is explained by the law of karma, which is the law of cause and effect. Meaning that the law is that there cannot be an effect without the cause. What happens in the moment is the effect, and the cause must be prior to the effect, cause must be in the past, which is what we call the karma. So, yachabi utkramat ishvara, the jivatma is called ishvara because he is a master of his body-mind complex, therefore it's called ishvara in a secondary sense. So, this jivatma, he pulls his subtle body from its different locations when he departs from here. Shariram yat avapnoti, then he acquires a new body. He goes with this baggage into the new body. Gruhitva etani sanyati. Etani gruhitva etani sanyati. Gruhitva, taking all these things with him, sanyati, he goes to the next embodiment. This is called transmigration. Migrating from one embodiment to the other embodiment. What migrates? The life principle, the subtle body, which is the life principle. That is what in fact means life and the mind and all of this, all that unit called subtle body, departs from here to the next body. What decides what the next body is? His karma decides. So, sakarma dutena jadena nitaha. The karma becomes like a dut, or like a messenger, or like a pilot that leads this jiva into the next body. The example is given here. Swami, why, how come you don't see this? When death happens, we don't see this. We don't see anything departing. If as soon as something departs from his body, then we should see it. No. That's why it's called subtle body. What can be perceived by the sense organs is called gross. So this is gross body which is lying here, and what departs is the subtle body. It is called subtle because it is not the object of perception by the sense organs. Therefore, Lord Krishna here gives a beautiful example. Vayur gandhani vasayat. Vayur means the wind. Just as the wind would carry the fragrance from their sources. So wind blows, and over the flowers, it carries the fragrance of flowers. Over garbage, carries whatever fragrance there is, or what a smell there is, what a odor there is, how the wind carries, you don't see that odor. So wind is carrying, you don't see what it is carrying. You know it, you know. Similarly also, the subtle body is carried away from here, you don't feel it, you don't perceive that. So there is no proof of the subtle body. Can you prove that there is subtle body? We can't prove. Scientists want proof that you can demonstrate them, you know. You can't demonstrate this. So they thought that let us see whether there is something called subtle body. So let us see, they measured the weight of this body before its death and measured the weight of the body after the death to see whether there was some difference. Did something leave? But what leaves is subtle, so it doesn't have weight also. They say, yes, yes, we found that it was 2 ounces, so subtle body must weigh 2 ounces. No such thing. Weight also can only be for something which is tangible. Subtle body is not a tangible thing. So this is how Vedanta explains the process of transmigration, you know, departing from one body to the other. Okay, we'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau punah punah Ishvaro Gururatmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadhyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye.